speaking of friends and loved ones who disappeared in the floodwaters. In Biloxi, Mississippi, authorities believe at least 30 residents were killed in one apartment complex when Hurricane Katrina ripped through the Gulf Coast, and many more may have been killed in the same area. At least two Air Force bases reporting damage caused by Hurricane Katrina. Other military services totaling the cost. Floodwaters up to 4 feet deep covering housing and training facilities at Kessler Air Force Base in Mississippi. Homestead Air Force Base in Florida has flooding and downed trees. Army officials are on their way to Camp Shelby in Mississippi, where power is out and there's word of flooding and a number of fallen trees, and the Navy still evaluating the damage to Pensacola Naval Air Station in Florida and Naval Station Pascagoula in Mississippi. Katrina also today four scores more flight cancellations involving New Orleans and other southern cities as airlines juggling schedules around one of the worst storms on record. Hurricane-related disruptions also continue to have an impact far more worrisome for American airlines than the added cost. The oil prices spiking to record highs over $70. Consequences may include potentially pushing Northwest, Independence, and Delta into bankruptcy and blocking the efforts of United Airlines to emerge from Chapter 11 bankruptcy. For the short term, the airlines are scrambling to rearrange flights within the limitations set by Katrina's devastation. The Federal Aviation Administration said two commercial airports are still closed in New Orleans and Gulfport, Mississippi, with storm-related delays at Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport. Some gas stations out of regular unleaded fuel after drivers lined up to beat price increases following Hurricane Katrina. The storm disrupted oil production in the Gulf of Mexico. One retailer in North Carolina sold 1,500 gallons of gas in an hour and a half yesterday. Other stations say they have run out of gasoline. One expert is predicting, following the storm, the price at the pump may go up 15 cents a gallon.
It's an online outlet, a department store where everything is always on sale. You can save up to 70% on apparel, electronics, and diamond jewelry. You can buy best-selling books priced below Amazon. With an online price guarantee, $2.95 shipping, and live operators 24/7. So why shop anywhere else? Overstock.com. It's all about the O.
Thank you for calling to learn more about the See Clearly method.
What's the catch?
Excuse me?
The catch. Your radio commercial said you can improve my eyesight so I won't be dependent on my glasses and contacts. There has to be a catch.
No catch, sir. Our optometrists believe that you can indeed better your vision with the See Clearly method.
It's surgery, right? Expensive surgery?
No surgery, no drugs, no catches. The See Clearly method is a revolutionary approach to better vision that doesn't require drugs or surgery. Oh, but there is one thing I forgot to mention.
I knew it. A catch.
I can give you a free video that will tell you all about it.
Free video. Hey, wait a minute. That's a good thing.
We know it sounds unbelievable, but the See Clearly method can improve bad vision naturally without drugs or surgery. See for yourself by calling for our free video to preview the See Clearly method. Call 1-800-992-5736. Call now before you get sidetracked and forget. Your vision is too important. For your free video, call 1-800-992-5736. That's 1-800-992-5736.
Would you like to look and feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Ultimate HGH is clinically proven in a double-blind study to help you look and feel younger. We're so confident that Ultimate HGH works that you can try it free. That's right, free. So call now for your free 30-day trial of Ultimate HGH and turn back the clock. Just pay shipping and handling. Call now, 800-337-0447. 800-337-0447. 800-337-0447.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Air America is more than just on your radio. Visit us on the web at airamericaradio.com.
It works, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Check out the show preview section so you can see who and what's coming up on your favorite shows.
I'm looking forward to listening to you.
We gather important information so that you can read the news that really matters to you.
And every day, gathering information.
Also, enjoy the audio highlights page featuring Air America comedy and exclusive web-only audio features.
It is vital to the future security of our country.
AirAmericaRadio.com, your source for everything Air American.
Welcome to the Young Turks. I'm Cenk Uygur. I'm filling in for Mike Malloy. No, Mike did not get assassinated by the Bush crime family. He's all right. He's just got a sore throat. He'll be back soon enough. We got an exciting show for you tonight. We got a lot of guests. We're going to blow it out that way. And, of course, we're going to talk about the hurricane. Shocking, I know, but it turns out the Bush administration has also mishandled this. It's also been a tremendous gift for them because Bush finally gets to leave Crawford. And at this point, I think he was dying to leave. It's the first vacation he's wanted to end in his whole lifetime, probably. It must have felt like a prison with Cindy Sheehan standing guard outside, and they couldn't wait to leave, and they're like, great excuse, all right. Now we get to pull the chute, we get to get out of here and look presidential by going to tackle the hurricane. Now, of course, if the hurricane is bad enough that you got to go get it, how about the Iraq War? That is not enough of a disaster. That's not enough of an emergency. That's not an important issue enough. Okay, now we've got the hurricane that'll take him out of a vacation, and Terry Schiavo that'll take him out of a vacation. Nothing else, apparently. Not Osama bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States. Not the Iraq War, the endless Iraq War. Not the Israeli-Palestinian problems. None of those things will take Bush out of a war. We've also got for you later in the program how FEMA wanted to have more money, and now it's turning out that they're going to have no money. They're going to go inside the Homeland Security Department, and is that a wise move? A Washington Post editorial says it is decidedly not a wise move. Unfortunately, looting has begun in New Orleans, although it does have a funny twist. We'll tell you about that as well later in the show. Pat Leahy goes ballistic, in my opinion, and God bless him. Give him hell, Pat. Give him hell. This is the second time that I can say Pat Leahy's has done a terrific job as the fiery senator from Vermont. I don't know what's in the water in Vermont, but God bless those people. And if we have enough time, I want to get to Bush's speech where he talks about how Iraq is basically comparing Iraq to World War II. Right. I know, you're Roosevelt and you're fighting the Nazis. It's very compelling. You're a hero. All right, now you've got your commander-in-chief outfit on. You've got your landing on the Abraham Lincoln, USS Abraham Lincoln outfit on, that goofy air pilot outfit. You got your cowboy outfit on. I'm just waiting for him to put on the Indian outfit so we can complete the YMCA. And we're going to cover that for you hopefully a little bit later in the show. But I want to tell you a little bit about our guests. In a little bit, we're going to talk to Melanie Sloan. She is the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And if you want to hear about a funny story, here is the governor of Kentucky, of course Republican, preemptively pardoning his entire staff. And then after that, we're going to talk about the Darfur genocide. Unfortunately, of course, that is not getting enough attention. Also, the more disturbing aspect of the guests we're going to have on that issue is these constant NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox decisions to not carry certain ads. If they don't carry ads that we care about, remember, of course, they didn't carry the Cindy Sheehan ad in Idaho, then we're going to have absolutely no voice. We already have absolutely no liberals on television. It's wall-to-wall conservative talk shows there. We've got Air America here, obviously. We've got some things, some other shows, of course, like the Young Turks. But on television, we've got nothing. And if they don't carry our ads, there goes the First Amendment. We're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to have a guest on about peak oil, a person who wrote a New York Times Magazine article. It's a fantastic article. It tells us all you need to know, and it's exhaustive. It's 18 pages, but it gives you all the details about how we might be running out of oil. And we hit $70 a barrel just because of this hurricane recently and because of everything else that's going on. If you like $70 a barrel, wait till you get a load of $100 a barrel, which unfortunately might be coming up soon. And first, we go to the guest that I mentioned earlier. We're going to go to Melanie Sloan. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Melanie, is there any such thing left anymore? Are there any ethics in Washington?
Well, I'll have to admit they're getting harder and harder to find, and now the problem seems to be fanning out across the country with politicians.
I got to be honest with you, Melanie. I love this story. I think it's hilarious. Maybe I'm the only one who's getting the joke, but why is it, you know, and I've seen maybe one or two stories on it, but you would think that this would be kind of a large thing when a governor of a state decides, no, I'm going to go ahead and pardon everybody who's involved in any investigation because they work for me. I mean, doesn't that automatically strike you as absurd?
It strikes me as outrageous, and I, too, cannot believe that the major media has not been picking up on this. I think it's for two reasons. One is that Kentucky is a relatively small state. It only has a congressional delegation of 6 members. And secondly, the governor, Ernie Fletcher, made his decision to announce these pardons right during, you know, one of the worst hurricanes of the century, Katrina. And I think if you, you know, see the evening news, it is, and the morning papers, they are just dominated by coverage of Katrina and, you know, the devastation that's been wrought across the South.
Sure.
And so I think that, and I think Governor Fletcher knew that and took advantage of that. I don't think that's an accident.
All right. Now, I want to get to how the media is covering it in a little bit. But first, let's set up the story for everybody. What exactly was the investigation down in Kentucky? Who did it involve? And then who did the governor wind up pardoning and for what reason? So one at a time. Go ahead, Melanie.
Sure. The Kentucky Attorney General, Greg Stumpo, has been investigating the employment practices of Governor Fletcher's administration since May, when a former state employee gained whistleblower protection and gave prosecutors documents that alleged that the state merit system was being misused. Kentucky employment law says that employment decisions for rank-and-file employees must be based on a candidate's qualifications and not their political connections. But
right.
The documents that the whistleblower provided showed that Governor Fletcher and his staff were replacing state employees with Republican loyalists.
But you know what, Melanie, I got to interrupt you there because, I mean, when you tell me that, I think, of course, don't they always do that?
Well, you know, interestingly, not only is that against Kentucky state law, the Supreme Court has found that that violates employees' First Amendment protections. You can't actually fire someone who's not one of your top-level advisors just because of their political affiliations. And this has been a pretty long-time decision by the Supreme Court of the United States.
So you're saying that, for example, a new governor comes in Kentucky, whether he's a Democrat or Republican, and there's employees throughout the state that run the Medicare program, Medicaid, education, et cetera, et cetera. Those are career employees, and you can't have them fired and rehired every time somebody new comes in for political reasons. Otherwise, we've become a bit like a third world country, and that's really what this law is about.
That's right. The concept is that you should, if you have employees that, and the Supreme Court has said this, if you have employees who aren't doing a good job, well, then you can fire them for that. But if you just want to get rid of somebody because of their political loyalties, that is just simply not a good enough reason, except in the case of a few top employees, you know, in your cabinet, for example.
We're talking to Melanie Sloan. She's the executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. So, Melanie, what did Governor Ernie Fletcher, Republican of Kentucky, do instead of keeping them all in their positions as he's supposed to?
Well, not only was this investigation going on by Attorney General Stumpo, but he eventually indicted 9 different people on charges of violating the Kentucky law that prohibited the same thing that the First Amendment prohibits. And one of the people who he indicted was Fletcher's deputy chief of staff, who was indicted on 19 misdemeanor charges of this kind of crime.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So it was a lot of people, and Governor Fletcher himself is implicated in all of this, and, you know, I won't be surprised to one day see him turn around and pardon himself.
He was in front of a grand jury today, is that right?
For 3 minutes, yeah. He gave his
must have went well.
And qualification, and then pled the Fifth Amendment.
Fascinating. So he pleads the Fifth Amendment to not incriminate himself, but he pardons 9 people in his staff by saying, well, they must have obviously done nothing wrong, so that's why I'm going to pardon them. That doesn't seem to jive.
No, and by the way, not only does he pardon those 9 people, he tried to issue a pardon to anybody else that the investigation may sweep up. So if in the future someone is found to have violated these laws of the Attorney General, they too are pardons. Now, the Attorney General is objecting and may go to court saying you can't just issue blanket pardons.
You know, I'm a little afraid that this will actually spread back to Washington, Melanie, because then if Bush gets the idea of a preemptive pardon, oh boy, is he going to like that idea.
Yes, well, one can only assume, though, that voters won't like this idea too much.
Well, do we have a sense of that yet? I mean, it's happened very recently, obviously. Is there anything that a Republican can do in Kentucky where the good people of Kentucky won't say, well, gosh, if he did it, it must be right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is actually the first Republican governor that Kentucky has had since 1967. But Ernie Fletcher did come in on a platform of cleaning up the state government, which he said was very corrupt. So there are some reports that Kentuckians are just used to a certain level of corruption in their government, and so they don't really view this as something to get all worked up about. I think, though, that the 9 pardons, when they start to sink into people, and the blanket pardons in the future, probably will upset people, and I think this really bodes very poorly for Ernie Fletcher's reelection.
We're talking to Melanie Sloan. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. So what are we going to do about this other than waiting for the polls and seeing if people are a little bit bothered by these preemptive pardons of everyone who might have been guilty of any crime under Governor Fletcher in Kentucky?
Well, when I realized what happened yesterday, I also realized that Governor Fletcher had basically effectively shut down the entire state prosecution for these crimes. And so I thought about it, and I was so outraged. I thought, well, what federal laws has he violated? And that's when I began looking at the First Amendment laws, which say you can't fire people for this kind of reason. And when you take that in conjunction with one of our civil rights laws, you get a pretty good federal case. The civil rights law is 18 U.S.C. 241, and it provides that if two or more people conspire to injure, oppress, or intimidate any person in the exercise of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or the laws of the United States, then that person can be imprisoned for up to 10 years. So because the Supreme Court has held that you are violating the First Amendment to the Constitution by terminating or promoting based on political affiliation, and because there's a civil rights law that says if two people conspire to oppress somebody's civil rights, which are any rights secured to him by the Constitution, and the First Amendment is part of the Constitution, that basically gives the federal government a crime to go ahead and prosecute Governor Fletcher for.
Melanie, we're up against the break here, but it sounds almost like you want to do to them, to Governor Fletcher, what we did to the Rodney King cops. You kind of want to make it a federal issue because it's obviously not going to get taken care of at the state level because he's pardoning everybody at the state level.
That's exactly right. And now Governor Fletcher cannot pardon anybody for federal crimes, however. That's up to the President of the United States. So we're left really only with potential federal prosecution here. And, in fact, the Attorney General of Kentucky has also been asking the FBI to start looking into this matter.
Of course, the problem is then you run into the person who runs the Justice Department, Alberta Gonzalez. So I'm going to wish you good luck on that, Melanie.
Thank you.
All right, Melanie Sloan of CREW, thank you so much for joining us here on the Young Turks on Air America.
Thanks for having me.
All right, have a great night. Coming right back on the Young Turks.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. George Bush invaded Iraq under the pretense of weapons of mass destruction. So you'd think the first thing America would do after invading would be to track down the Iraqi scientist who worked on WMDs in the 80s and 90s. Well, think again. This month's Mother Jones magazine reveals that the Bush administration put almost no effort into tracking down Saddam's nuclear scientists. Iraq had many scientists with working knowledge of WMDs who could sell their services to the highest bidder. But a source tells Mother Jones that only 3 of Iraq's top 200-some nuclear scientists have been accounted for. The others are missing. If the Bush administration had actually cared about WMDs, it would have made an effort to find Iraq's nuclear weapons makers. Instead, Bush let the scientists slip away, making the world more dangerous for all of us. Read the full report online at MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Here's the everyday challenge for business professionals. Leaving work on time, because at 5 o'clock you still have work to finish. So you're stuck at the office because everything you need is on your office computer. Here's your solution. Go to MyPC.com. With GoToMyPC.com, you can remotely access your office computer from home or anywhere. All you need is an internet connection. Here's how it works. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and your office desktop instantly appears, just like you're sitting in front of it. GoToMyPC.com gives you complete access to everything on your office PC, all your files, emails, programs, and network resources. And here's a special offer just for Air America listeners. Try GoToMyPC.com free for 30 days with unlimited access. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone, and type in promo code America. That's GoToMyPC.com, radio microphone, promo code America for this special offer.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I want to send you a free tape about my proven system that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. Call 1-800-600-8774 and get your life back. Let me show you how you can get started right now. With my techniques, you can learn the secrets for spotting deals that come along on average once a week and pick up plenty of homes that generate lots of cash and become rich. Very rich. Call 1-800-600-8774 anytime, 24 hours a day, and I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Instead of just making a living, let me show you how to make real money. Again, that's 1-800-600-8774.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Back on the Young Turks, I'm Cenk Uygur filling in for Mike Molloy, who normally does this show. Of course, he's got a little bit of a sore throat. He'll be back soon enough. We were talking about George Bush and the disaster that is this Hurricane Katrina, along with the rest of his administration. Now we want to take some of your calls, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Let's go to John in Queens, New York first. Hey, John, welcome to the Young Turks.
I was really getting disgusted at this constant tactic of Bush, the Bush gang, to use the name of Roosevelt and the fight against the Nazis to justify their own Hitlerian-style unprovoked attacks against countries like Iraq and the other countries they're threatening. And it brought to mind during the 30s, overwhelmingly, it was Republicans who supported the Nazis and Mussolini, Hitler and Mussolini, and this was very little known, I think, because of the media's cover-up of a lot of this, but this was proven by the House Un-American Activities Committee during the 30s, which was actually looking for leftists and trying to attack leftists and communists, but they were forced to prove a plot that was instigated by some of the biggest Wall Street bankers and industrialists, backed by Republican politicians who sympathized with Hitler and Mussolini and wanted to overthrow Roosevelt simply because he wanted to distribute a little tiny bit of their wealth, really to save their backside.
John,
he wanted to put the country in alliance with Hitler and Mussolini. I would recommend people check out RationalRevolution.net because it documents this plot.
I got you, John. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Look, I want to say a couple things about that. First of all, yeah, it's true. For example, Grandpa Bush did work in finance, and he did wind up working with the Germans before the war or World War II, and the Germans before World War II, of course, were the National Socialist Party, the Nazi Party, and there's some claims that he worked with them during the war as well. I don't know if those are true or not. But you know what? I've got to say, I really believe that's ancient history, and I think we got to judge people based on what they've done now. For example, George H.W. Bush, and I get a lot of flack for this, but I think he was a good president. I voted for him, and I've got no problems with it. But George W. Bush is a disastrous president. He's a terrible president. No matter what his grandfather did or grandmother did or his great ancestors did, he's a bad president, and that's what we should be talking about. But it is comical to compare George W. Bush to Roosevelt fighting the Nazis in World War II. It's so comical that a neo-clown wrote an article the other day in the USA Today, an op-ed, where he said, well, you know, people say, well, Al-Qaeda attacked us, and we attacked Iraq instead, and that's wrong. But remember, during Pearl Harbor, the Japanese attacked us, but we attacked Germany instead in the beginning. Wait a minute. I can't believe that anybody would be that stupid. Obviously, he's trying to mislead the American people, but it's a comical attempt. See, what Germany and Japan were during World War II, and for all of you neo-clowns out there and Republicans still holding on to the dream that George Bush has any semblance of intelligence left, they were allies. They started a war together. See, we didn't need a 9/11 commission to figure out that they were allies. In fact, they were the original Axis, if you remember. Now, Iraq and Al-Qaeda, 9/11 commission and every other piece of evidence say, were not allies. In fact, at different times, fought each other. They were, in fact, quite unrelated. So if you want to make a comparison, the apt comparison would be this. We get hit in Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. Roosevelt decides, we've got a hit in that region. We're going to invade China. If that makes sense to you, you keep voting Republican, okay? But it doesn't make sense to anybody else. And that's what this war in Iraq is. Could you imagine if we were bogged down in the middle of China during World War II? That's exactly what George W. Bush has done, no matter what his ancestors did. We're coming right back on the Young Turks on Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Green Light on the Environment, brought to you by Cliff Bar. I'm Rachel Maddow. Imagine a hybrid car that gets 250 miles per gallon. Sound crazy? It sounds inevitable to an electrical engineer in California named Ron Grumbin. He's one of a growing number of hybrid pioneers who have turned their cars into what's called a plug-in hybrid. Ron says he's getting 80 miles to the gallon now. So why aren't automakers producing them? They say they aren't cost-efficient yet. Daimler Chrysler is the only automaker willing to produce even a limited number of them.
At Cliff Bar and Company, we're all about nourishing healthy people with great food, like Cliff and Luna Bars, and now new Cliff Nectar, an entirely organic fruit and nut bar made from five or fewer ingredients. With two servings of fruit, you can eat well and feel good about it. Cliff Bar is part of a growing community of people and companies dedicated to leaving a lighter footprint on the planet. Visit CliffBar.com and learn about how we're working to create better food and a more healthful environment. And look for Cliff Nectar in your local natural food stores.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm a mystery shopper. Now, my friends think I have the absolute dream job. Don't get me wrong, it's great. But I tell them there's a little bit of work involved. I have to get out of bed, get dressed, plan out which shops to go to, and evaluate my shopping experience. Well, sure, I get paid to shop, but it's not like I can just sleep in and watch soap operas all day. Now, that would be a dream job.
Have you ever wondered how people get an inside track to become a paid mystery shopper? If you're self-disciplined and self-motivated, there are over 40,000 retail chains looking for mystery shoppers across the country. We work with large retailers, grocery chains, restaurants, and banks who need shoppers to evaluate things like customer service, store cleanliness, and parking. So if you like to shop and have a valid email address, we have assignments available now for men and women 18 years and older. Call 1-800-416-0859 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-416-0859. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-800-416-0859.
Web conferencing has been around for some time, allowing you to hold meetings over the internet during conference calls. You may have heard of WebEx or Live Meeting, but have you checked out their prices? Whoa, talk about expensive. Good news, there's a more affordable way. GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting doesn't charge per minute. For one low flat monthly rate, hold as many meetings as you want for as long as you need. With GoToMeeting, you don't need to drive or fly to have a meeting anymore. All you need is a PC, phone, and internet connection. And you can collaborate or present with anyone, anywhere in the world without ever leaving your office. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days with unlimited meetings. For this special offer, visit www.gotomeeting.com, click the radio microphone, and use promo code America. That's gotomeeting.com, radio microphone, promo code America. Discover the power of web conferencing with GoToMeeting.
You've heard it's all about the O. Well, what does that mean? It means you have one place to go for a luxurious lifestyle. Overstock.com offers the web's best deals on designer fashions, books, music, sporting goods, bedding, assisted living products, all up to 70% off, plus affordable vacation packages and an auction department with hard-to-find one-of-a-kind items. Live operators 24/7, and it's $2.95 shipping on every order. Simple, safe, and easy. Overstock.com.
Hey, he was offside. Oh, man, this is by far the best ticket I've ever had to any football game. I've never felt so close to the action. You've got your ticket for great hard-hitting football this season, right? Don't you?
Get up to 200 NFL games with NFL Sunday Ticket only from DirecTV. You get instant access to your choice of games all season only on DirecTV. When you subscribe to NFL Sunday Ticket for just four payments of $69.99, you also receive 4 months of DirecTV's best programming package, Total Choice Premier, free. Call Nationwide Satellite right now for NFL Sunday Ticket, and you'll also get a four-room system installed free. Plus, ask how to get a free DirecTV DVR so you can pause and replay live TV. Call 888-442-7306. That's 888-442-7306 for your NFL Sunday Ticket. 888-442-7306. Call now.
Offer is available till 11-505 on approved credit. New residential customers only. DirecTV hardware, programming, and DVR service sold separately at $4.99 per month for separate programming on second and each additional TV. Blackout rules and other conditions apply to sport.
Are you tired of guessing when it comes to your ovulation cycle? Tired of using messy, expensive tests to determine your fertility period? Whether you're trying to get pregnant or not, Ovatel is for you. Ovatel is the first saliva-based ovulation test kit that doesn't use a battery. Ovatel is a clinically tested, non-invasive, reusable device that uses a small amount of saliva to detect your ovulation cycle. Determining your fertility period through a saliva test is 98% accurate with results in minutes. Ovatel is just as efficient as a urine test, but without the mess. Plus, one Ovatel device lasts a lifetime. Ovatel is your affordable, portable, no fuss, no mess, no nonsense, discreet solution to detecting your ovulation cycle. It's been used in Europe for years and is now available in the U.S. So take charge of your ovulation cycle and call Ovatel toll-free now.
Call now, 1-800-505-5849. That's 1-800-505-5849. 1-800-505-5849.
Air America's Morning Sedition.
On Wednesdays, Morning Sedition, we've got all your favorite comedy, all the day's news, and Mark and Mark's interview with Rob Zombie.
You were an illustrator for porno magazines?
Yeah, I did that for a long time.
Which magazines?
You know when you see a big rack of magazines and it's Playboy, and then it goes to Penthouse, then Hustler, and then you get way down to the bottom and there's all those ones, like, who would buy those?
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
Those are the ones.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie and much more on Wednesdays, Morning Sedition.
Back on the Young Turks, filling in for Mike Malloy. I'm your host today, Cenk Uygur. Normally we do it with Ben and Jill. They're in L.A. I'm in New York. I'm going to do it alone today. And we're going to take all of your calls on the hurricane and the Bush family in a little bit. But first we have with us a guest, Brian Komar. No?
No.
Apparently not. All right, we'll take the calls instead then. Let's have fun. Let's go to Sarah, who wants to talk about the hurricane. Our number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. 303-2270. Sarah's calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wondered if anybody else heard what I heard. I type for a living, so I have the radio or the TV on almost constantly in the background. When this hurricane just first got started and was about to get into New Orleans, they announced one of these networks, and I cannot remember where, that a nuclear power plant somewhere outside New Orleans They were shutting it down and doing everything within their abilities to safeguard, you know, to make it completely safe. And I heard this twice on two consecutive news broadcasts, and then I've never heard a word since. And I just wonder if anybody else heard about this.
Well, I have not heard about that specifically, Sarah, but of course there's the oil refineries down in Louisiana that are having trouble. That's why all of a sudden we had over a $4 increase in a barrel of oil. We've got the levees that didn't hold up in New Orleans, and now we find out that the Army Corps of Engineers was unfunded down there, or they took away the funding to fix the levees, so that's going to cause all the troubles for all the different areas of New Orleans and Louisiana in general. And it turns out also FEMA, which was on top of this, has basically been decommissioned by the Bush administration. Pretty bad timing, and a lot of that is because they didn't have the money because they spent it in Iraq, which is all very unfortunate. We're going to get back to the hurricane in a second, but and Sarah, thank you for the call. But let's go to our guest now. We've got Brian Komar. He's a director of coalition relations at the Center for American Progress, and he wants to talk about another tragedy, which is the tragedy in Darfur, which doesn't get a lot of coverage. And not only does it not get a lot of coverage, apparently a commercial that you guys have put together to give it more coverage, because the news won't cover it, is also not getting much coverage. Brian, welcome to the Young Turks.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What is the commercial about, first of all?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Listen, just in terms of background, I mean, here you have a perfect example of the power of the television, power of media, with respect to the current humanitarian crisis going on in terms of the hurricane and what coverage can do. You can't turn on the channel right now on the television and not see something about going on about the hurricane. So I just want to give a shout-out to anyone out there who may be a hurricane victim and just say that this is a perfect example of what can happen when the media actually does its job. And because of it, you know, we're all much more well aware of what's going on to some of our fellow Americans out there. But as you said, there's another humanitarian crisis going on that most of us don't know nearly as much about, and that's what's going on in the Darfur region of Sudan.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's amazing how much video affects things in pictures. You know, there's torture stories all over Iraq. Nobody pays attention unless you got the pictures from Abu Ghraib. And, you know, you've got the tsunami. You got good pictures on that. People pay attention. And devastating video from Mississippi, New Orleans, et cetera. People pay attention. Not very many pictures coming out of Darfur.
Not a lot of pictures at all, and that's what this campaign is about. Together with the Genocide Intervention Fund, the American Progress Action Fund launched this Be a Witness campaign, and it was, you know, it was really challenging the media to provide greater coverage of the genocide that's been going on there since 2003. And it's based on some research that shows that, you know, compared to stories like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes or The Runaway Bride or the Michael Jackson trial, for example, you know, they're providing, you know, upwards of 65 times more coverage of those issues than the genocide. And, you know, make no mistake about it. I mean, the genocide is something that we can stop. The ad you mentioned was appalling. We put together a 30-second spot which kind of juxtaposed coverage of those issues, the Tom Cruise affair, the Runaway Bride, and the Michael Jackson trial, and then, you know, juxtaposed that with some of the images coming out of genocide that nobody's seen, and challenged the media, saying, listen, you can't stop a genocide if you don't know about it. Genocide is news. Tell the media to be a witness. And we tried placing that on six stations in the D.C. market, and so far, three of the networks have refused the ad.
All right. Now, first of all, I want to clarify something, Brian. I don't think it's fair to compare the genocide with Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is really important.
Well, I mean, and that's what we're trying to figure out. I know that your tagline is, you know, that you guys don't make the news, you make the news sexy. And we're trying to figure out is, you know, is that really what it comes to with genocide? Is that what we're going to need to do is, you know, stick Paris Hilton in our genocide ad in order to get it on television?
I hope to God we don't have to do that.
You know?
So why – look, I get that they don't do the network coverage. You know, they don't have sexy pictures, and it's terrible. But I at some level understand it. I don't agree with it at all. But what I can't understand for the life of me is why those stations won't take your money – to run an ad about it. What are the three stations? Which are the three stations?
Right now, these are the local affiliates in D.C., and this is NBC, CBS, and ABC. We are still waiting to hear from CNN. who has not yet gotten back to us. Believe it or not, the two stations that have agreed to air the ad and will be airing the ad are MSNBC and Fox News Channel. So the ad will be appearing on those stations, and folks can see the ad for themselves at beawitness.org. And really, we haven't really heard much. The only thing that we've heard are some one-line kind of responses by email that are things along the lines of management did not approve the airing. We just got word we will not be able to accept the creative. Please let us know if there may be an alternative creative we may run.
Why? What did you guys put in there? Janet Jackson's breast or something?
Exactly. That's what you would think. But there's two possible explanations. One, is that they just don't like the criticism. And, I mean, how hypocritical is it that here the media is fair to, everyone's fair game to the media, but as soon as you turn, the light on them, they're the last ones to, willing to accept any criticism. And, the other possible explanation would be if there was something, once again, in terms of the creative or some of the imagery. But the imagery, I mean, see for yourself, split-second imagery. And if that's the case, then let us know, and maybe we can do something about it. And, compared to some of the stuff that's being aired on television these days, it's just absolutely outrageous that they won't be covering this issue.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's a genocide. You can't pretty up a genocide. The point is that it's atrocious, and that's why you should be paying attention to it. And to criticize the fact that, the pictures you have on the genocide aren't very pretty.
I mean, that's the point, and I'm glad you raised that, because what this really, unfortunately, I think is about, and your listeners certainly, know this, is that this is, I think the natural progression of a consolidated media industry. And I really encourage folks to get more involved in the broader media policy debate. The folks over at freepress.net are doing an excellent job. But the truth is that the broadcast networks make their profits by selling time to advertisers. And when you're covering things like genocide or war, for that matter, it might put some people in a funk. And when they're in, such a mood, they're probably less inclined to be buying what the advertisers are selling. And I think there's a larger, broader issue that I encourage folks to be involved with. But in the short term, please log onto the website at beawitness.org, contact the media, and help us, Sank, whatever you guys can do to find out why won't these stations air the ad?
We're talking to Brian Komar, Director of Coalition Relations at the Center for American Progress. Brian, I want to talk about that larger issue for just a second here. Now, what can we do if the major networks, on a consistent basis, decide to not run ads that, for whatever reason, they don't like, whether it's because they feel that it's critical of them, or it doesn't suit their bottom line, or their perceived bottom line, or it doesn't suit their political purposes? We talked a little bit about the Cindy Sheehan ad that they refused to run in Idaho because they said, well, we don't know. There still might be weapons of mass destruction, so we can't run that ad. And there's been numerous cases of MUBON ads that have not been run. What if the networks just flat out refuse to run any ads they don't politically agree with anymore? What can we do?
It's a really tough issue. I think there's a couple things. One is we do need to support strong public broadcasting. And public broadcasting that's protected from, the political winds of Washington, which is a little bit difficult these days. Most of these issues, and unfortunately not the issue that Melanie talked about earlier in terms of what's going on in Kentucky, which is just outrageous, but public broadcasting is providing much greater coverage of these issues than any of the mainstream media. And the other thing is, I think, supporting alternative media and supporting alternative journalism. And to be quite frank, shows like Young Turks and all the folks out on Air America, I mean, the bottom line is in these days, we can't necessarily be relying on these folks. And if not, listen, we gotta take power where we can, and we got to get our message out.
I think somebody's got, first of all, rock and roll on that Air America and Young Turks stuff. Nobody's going to disagree with you on supporting that. But what are we going to, there has to be a legal recourse. I just can't imagine that. I mean, what if all these stations decided, let's get real. We're Republicans, okay? We make a lot of money, and these guys give us huge corporate tax cuts. We're not going to endanger that by running your ads. Sad day for all of you. No more liberal ads on any of the TV stations.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, I think the truth is that it's much more just about, this kind of merchandise-based society, and, everything is about selling products.
No, Brian, I get you. And you know what? I'm not necessarily saying that's what the networks are. I'm definitely not saying that's what the networks are going to do, or that is what their main motivation is. And frankly, I don't care that much about their motivation. I'm asking, legally, is there anything that could be done to compel them to respect the First Amendment?
The broadcasters are using a public asset, the public airwaves, in order to, provide a service to the public. And so, yes, I mean, the FCC over at the Federal Communications Commission is the regulatory entity, you know, that is the agency that's in charge of this. And there is a whole range of different issues going on over there that folks should be involved with. And there used to be a policy known as ascertainment, which, of course, was, you know, completely gutted in the 80s during the Reagan administration. And it basically said that a public station, that these stations, I'm sorry, these private stations that were serving the public interest needed to actually ask the public, the local community, what they wanted to see more of and ascertain what the needs were of the local community. You know, crazy idea that if you're actually trying to serve the public that you should be asking them what you want. That's been totally wiped out. And so I think we need to be looking, you know, looking at reinstating ascertainment or other possibilities. And if there is legal recourse, there are, you know, I think that's something that should be looked at as well.
Brian, we're pretty close to the break here, and we're talking to Brian Komar. He's director of coalition relations at the Center for American Progress. But I want to ask you one thing about the genocide. You know, it always bothers me that here we have a genocide that's happening right now, and we're doing absolutely nothing about it. I mean, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. And the main argument we use for invading Iraq, now that there were no WMD and there was no connection to 9/11 or Al-Qaeda, is, well, you know, he gassed his own people 12 years ago. So are we going to have to wait 12 years before we invade Darfur region?
I certainly hope not. I certainly hope not. There'll be too many dead bodies if that's the fact. I mean, if that's the case. I mean, we all share a responsibility here. I mean, there is definitely more the Bush administration could be doing. There is definitely more that our members of Congress in a bipartisan way can be doing. There is far more that the UN needs to be doing. And to be quite frank, there's far more that the media and that every one of us needs to be doing. We need to be, you know, in the media, we need to be covering it, whether it's Young Turks or whether it's CNN or whomever it is. And I think people in their, you know, just in their communities need to be learning more about what's going on. And there's plenty of great resources out there. The Genocide Intervention Fund is our partner on this project, doing great work. SaveDarfur.org. There's a range of organizations doing just some great work on this, and I really encourage people to get involved, particularly around the upcoming anniversary, September 21st, which is the anniversary of when the president declared genocide in Darfur.
Well, Brian, God bless you for spreading the word. And everybody check out BeAWitness.org, where you can actually see the commercial that some of the stations won't be running in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us on the Young Turks, Brian.
Thanks, my friend.
All right. We're going to come right back on the Young Turks on Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. George Bush invaded Iraq under the pretense of weapons of mass destruction. So you'd think the first thing America would do after invading would be to track down the Iraqi scientist who worked on WMDs in the 80s and 90s. Well, think again. This month's Mother Jones magazine reveals that the Bush administration put almost no effort into tracking down Saddam's nuclear scientists. Iraq had many scientists with working knowledge of WMDs who could sell their services to the highest bidder. But a source tells Mother Jones that only three of Iraq's top 200-some nuclear scientists have been accounted for. The others are missing. If the Bush administration had actually cared about WMDs, it would have made an effort to find Iraq's nuclear weapons makers. Instead, Bush let the scientists slip away, making the world more dangerous for all of us. Read the full report online at MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Have you ever wondered how some people get to the top of their careers faster than others? Is it hard work? Dedication? Luck? It's probably a combination of all three, and something else. When these people see something they believe will give them an edge, they jump on it. Like GoToMyPC, the award-winning remote access solution that will ensure you never miss an important opportunity again. It's the fastest, easiest way to access your office or home PC from any PC, anywhere. All you need is internet access, and you can work on your programs, files, emails, and network from anywhere. No wonder GoToMyPC has been voted best remote access software. Here's a special offer just for Air America listeners. Try GoToMyPC.com free for 30 days with unlimited access. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio microphone, and type in promo code America. That's GoToMyPC.com, radio microphone, promo code America for this special offer.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carter. Since 1982, Habitat for Humanity has been building houses and hope in the countries of Asia. But for hundreds of thousands of people, hope turned to despair last December when a tsunami struck. Today, Habitat building centers are being established to provide jobs, to teach new skills, and to offer people the dignity to rebuild not only their houses, but their lives. I urge you to join me and support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your own community and around the world. Visit Habitat.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74, and this is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residents. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and we'll also send you a free 911 cell phone when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
Back on the Young Turks, we're filling in for Mike Malloy. My name is Cenk Uygur. Let's take some calls. 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. We talked about a wide range of material, and we'll take calls on all of that. We talked about Rwanda, the hurricane, Kentucky governor, and, of course, our old friend George Bush. Let's start with the Sudan and what's happening there. Let's go to Raymond in Michigan. Raymond, welcome to the Young Turks.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Jake?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Great. Well, I'm just following you around on the channels that you seem to be popping up here and there, you know.
Thank you.
Hey, it's good to hear you, but this Sudan thing, I know, you know, it's just been like a blackout here in this country. I know Wes Clark's pushing up on his website that we need to, you know, get the NATO to put 12,000 troops over there so the African Union can get their stuff together. But, you know, who we put over there in at the UN, John Bolton, that would really get the process going so NATO could go out and do that thing.
Hey, Raymond, I'm sorry, man. Your connection's real rough, but I think I got the gist of what you're saying. You know, here we needed somebody at the UN who can really push for things that matter. Remember Colin Powell at the State Department when he was there? He was the first to call what was happening in Darfur a genocide, and he was, you know, for all of his problems, was at least on the right side of that issue. Now we have a guy like John Bolton who goes in there throwing fireballs right away. Does he care about Darfur? Has he mentioned it once? Of course not! No way. John Bolton immediately goes in there and scuttles an agreement that all the other nations had put together and that we were fine with until he got there, and it was on arms reduction. Of course, we're not in favor of arms reduction, which boggles the imagination. And quick memo to John Bolton on that issue. We have more arms than everybody else combined. You see, we want to stop right now. That would lock in our advantage. And if you only cared about our advantage, you would still be in favor of not producing any more nuclear weapons for anybody. But you lose credibility if you say, no, I want everybody else to stop. But even though we've got more than everybody else combined, I want us to be able to continue. And by the way, Darfur genocide, please don't bother me with that. I'm building nuclear weapons. When they're building nuclear bunker busters, this is literal, and the Pentagon has put together a plan. So, of course, mentioned an article in the Washington Post in May, and then since Fox News Channel didn't cover it, nobody else did either. They have an effective plan on using them, using nuclear weapons in a strike against Iran or North Korea. We're not worried about stopping a genocide. We're worried about how we're going to use nuclear weapons against Iran or North Korea. Look, if you told me these things about a previous administration, I would have said you're crazy. No, Americans aren't that bad. I don't care who they are, Republican, Democrats, Marxist, they're not that bad. They're not going to do crazy things like this. But this administration constantly over the top on every single issue. They've also bungled this hurricane, which is what Terry calls about. Terry from Florida, thank you for joining us on the Young Turks, man. What do you got for us?
I realize that our National Guard is over in Iraq. But today I see Bush on TV talking about World War II, and there's thousands of naval personnel in the background. You mean he can't mobilize the military that's here to get them into these areas and start setting up tent cities to get people food and water and some type of shelter?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, of course, a very good question. Now, the people who used to handle this, Terry, is FEMA. That was the organization. And they had a program in place for it. That program, which was called Project Impact, was ended by the Bush administration almost as soon as they came in. And this year it was announced that FEMA is to, quote, officially lose the disaster preparedness function that it has had since its creation. So yet another issue where he can't seem to do anything right.
I saw Michael Chertoff on TV. I guess he's with the Homeland Security.
He's the head of Homeland Security. Terry, we're really up against the break here, so real quick.
Okay, well, anyway, there's 50 people in the background sitting on their butts. I mean, come on, people, get mobilized. Start doing something to help these people.
God bless. Go forward, Terry. I couldn't agree more with that concept. I hope they do. The president is now apparently heading a commission on this. We'll talk about that comical commission when we return on the Young Turks.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The immediate response to the death and devastation caused by Hurricane Katrina must be one of sympathy and support for the people of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Once a measure of stability has been returned to the coastal communities, however, it will be time to start asking the serious policy questions that have arisen in Katrina's wake. Number one, Congress should start listening to the scientists who warn that global warming has changed weather patterns in a manner that increases the likelihood of tropical storms hitting the southeastern United States. Two, Congress should reopen the discussion about national land use planning. If the federal government is going to be called upon to respond to the devastation caused by hurricanes, it should have a greater role in setting standards for where coastal development takes place. Number three, Congress should help cities in vulnerable areas rebuild their infrastructure, especially levees like the ones that broke in New Orleans. For more on smart responses to Katrina, visit thenation.com. I'm John Nichols for Air America Radio.
After 25 years of marriage, I can't imagine life without Bob. So when his doctor told him his high blood pressure and cholesterol increased his risk of a heart attack, I worried. But I feel better because his doctor recommended Bayer.
Doctors know that Bayer low dose can prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks, and Bayer is the brand that more doctors take for their own hearts. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen.
We both feel better because I take my Bayer.
You'll feel better, protected by Bayer. Talk to your doctor.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me. ESTER-E. Advanced protection. Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
You know, sleep can really impact how we look. I've noticed when I don't get enough sleep, not only does my skin look duller, but I just look older. So when I have pain and trouble sleeping, I don't just put up with it. I take something. Tylenol PM. It doesn't make me groggy, and it's non-habit forming. I just look and feel better when I get enough sleep. For me, it's not just about hitting the gym and stocking up at the makeup counter. It's about making sure I relieve my pain and I can sleep. Tylenol PM. Use only as directed.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The damage from Hurricane Katrina turning out to be worse than some had feared. In New Orleans, water still rising in the streets after levee breaks. It's not where they would prefer to be, but the 10,000 or so people being sheltered at the Louisiana Superdome are doing what they can to endure the heat and the discomfort, and new evacuees are continuing to arrive there. Meanwhile, authorities are reporting one death at the Superdome, a person they say apparently jumped from the upper level. Meanwhile, the governor of Louisiana is saying the entire city, including the Superdome, is going to have to be evacuated. The governor of Mississippi says the number of dead in one county could be as high as 80, could be higher. Authorities say 30 people may have died in one apartment complex along the beach in Biloxi, Mississippi. In Iraq, meanwhile, it's difficult for some of the National Guard troops to see the images of the destruction caused by Hurricane Katrina. Members of one unit from Louisiana are seeing some of their own neighborhoods back home completely covered by water. Some of them have not been in touch with their families for days. Katrina may turn out to be a record-setting storm in terms of insured losses. Two risk assessment companies say that insurance companies may end up paying $25 billion to cover the damage from Katrina. Until now, Hurricane Andrew had held that record. George Bush calls the Gulf Coast facing trying times and says there's a lot of work to do to recover from Hurricane Katrina. Bush spoke at a San Diego naval base today. Aides say he's preparing to cut short his ranch vacation because of the storm. He apparently will spend the night in Texas but go to Washington tomorrow to oversee the federal response to Katrina. Tennessee's turn now. The remnants of Hurricane Katrina bringing heavy rains and powerful winds to the state. The Katrina was at top tropical force strength as it entered the state last night. More than 1 in 8 Americans today reported to be officially poor. The Census Bureau reporting the fourth straight year of rising poverty levels. A top official at the National Poverty Center at the University of Michigan says the good news, as he called it, is that poverty is a lot lower than it was in 1993. The co-director of the Poverty Center at the University of Michigan says the last 4 years of rising poverty rates have not yet eclipsed the economic boom of the last decade. The Census Bureau says 37 million people living in poverty last year, up 1.1 million from 2003. A top U.S. Census official says the increase is much like what happened in the early 90s. He says then a recession was, quote, officially over, but he said people kept getting poorer anyway. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
So, you're comparing online car insurance quotes, and you wonder, am I comparing apples to apples or oranges to kumquats? With Progressive Direct, you'll know. Go to Progressive.com and you'll see a clear, easy-to-read chart comparing each company's rates and coverages. And if you have a question, just call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and a licensed insurance professional will pick up right where you left off online. So you can be sure. Available in most states and situations. Progressive Housing Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
We're talking with Felicia Stoller, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and the mother of two growing children.
Like all parents, it's hard getting my kids to drink milk. And now, the USDA recommends 3 dairy servings a day for kids over 8 to increase calcium intake. So it's even more important to drink milk. Since flavored milk makes it taste better, I compared the nutrition-enriched chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder. Ovaltine has a lot more vitamins and minerals than Nesquik. You don't have to be a nutritionist to know. Rich chocolate Ovaltine makes milk better.
More Ovaltine, please!
Are you in debt? Imagine for a minute taking that overwhelming mound of mail and bills you get and tearing them to shreds and pieces. Now imagine taking that never-ending phone that rings and rings and rings with creditors and having it stop. If you want to take that dark cloud in your life and make it a sunny day, call the debt management experts at Genesis Financial today for a free confidential analysis. Our goal is to help you be completely debt-free in 3 to 5 years. When you sign up with us, you only write one check, not dozens, and you choose your own payment date. We'll stop all your late and over-limit fees and all the harassing phone calls. Call the debt management experts at nonprofit Genesis Financial right now. 800-981-7591, 800-981-7591, that's 800-981-7591.
Support our troops.
We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
The Al Franken Show.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow, and all this week, the Al Franken Show is mine. There's not a thing Al can do about it. We'll have an update on how the Gulf Coast is doing now that President Bush has swung into action and rushed to Washington. Plus, you may have noticed that the U.S. is still in Iraq, and Camp Casey is still in Crawford. We'll get a live update on tomorrow's Rachel Maddow's Al Franken Show.
Welcome back to the Young Turks. I'm Jake Huger, filling in for Mike Malloy here on Air America. Got a lot of topics that we want to get to tonight, including the hurricane, how Bush, according to a Washington Post editorial that ran today, quote, destroyed FEMA. They might have been a little bit useful when this catastrophe hit. Also cut dramatically the funding for fixing the levee system in New Orleans. Again, might have been a little bit useful. Also, the National Guard is in Iraq when they could be helping here in Mississippi and New Orleans, among other places. All that we'll get to in a second. But one other effect of this hurricane has been to raise oil prices. Now, oil prices have gone up over $4 in the last couple of days, and now they're over $70 a barrel, which is stunning because just a couple of weeks ago, Peter Moss wrote The Breaking Point in Sunday New York Times Magazine, and it talked about how oil had gotten almost out of control because it was at $55 a barrel. And at some point in the article, you hear him talking about, what if it went to 65? What if it went to 75? And obviously some of the experts in here also talking about it going to triple digits, and already we're beginning to see some of those numbers. Peter, I want to talk to you more about peak oil and where these oil prices are going. Welcome to the Young Turks.
Good to be with you.
All right. Now, this is an exhaustive look into peak oil, what exactly that means, what are the troubles that might lie ahead because of the reserves situation in Saudi Arabia as well as other countries. Also, the demand situation that's coming up. First, Peter, can you explain to us what exactly is the concept of peak oil for someone who's never heard of it before?
Peak oil is a very important concept to understand these days. What it refers to is not kind of the day when the world runs out of oil as kind of being the crisis point for the world and for energy consumers. What peak oil refers to is the moment when the world's oil reservoirs can no longer continue increasing the amounts of oil that they bring to the surface. So what it refers to is this time that comes, and it will come at a certain point, when you can no longer continue increasing the amount of oil that comes out of the ground. Even if your demand goes up, even if you drill more wells, because of geological reasons, also because of technological reasons, you reach a point where it doesn't matter how many wells you drill, doesn't matter how deep you drill them, you're not going to be able to get more oil out of the ground. You begin a downward decline.
So let me see if I've got this right, Peter. We're talking to Peter Moss. He wrote an article called The Breaking Point for New York Times Magazine. So it gets to the point where we've basically peaked out on oil, and instead of getting more oil out of the ground, at that point we'll be getting less and less.
It can plateau for a couple of years or something like that, but basically once you reach the peak, it doesn't go back up again. It either plateaus for a couple of years and then begins to go down, or it can also begin to go down quite severely. And the key thing, of course, is, you know, when is this peak going to happen? And the kind of troubling thing is that there are some oil experts who say, actually, we're at the peak or very near it right now. Those experts are kind of a minority, but they're becoming a larger minority as time goes on. And I went to Saudi Arabia to kind of find out, really, when is that country, which is like the central bank of oil, when is that country going to peak?
And you talked to two experts here. One is let's do the Saudi Arabian expert first. He was in charge of basically exploration and production in Saudi Arabia. So if anyone's going to know about what's happening with the oil reserves, he would. What did he tell you, Peter?
It was a fascinating interview. I talked to him in Dahran, which is kind of the Houston of Saudi Arabia. His name is Sadat al-Husseini, and he was the vice president for exploration and development of Saudi Aramco, which is the state-owned oil company in Saudi Arabia, and indeed the largest oil company in the world. And he's discovered, you know, more oil fields and has pumped out, been responsible for pumping out more oil than really almost anybody on this planet. And he retired last year. Kind of a political problem was involved, and he was somewhat nudged out. And he talked to me quite openly, and what he basically said is that Saudi Arabia is not at its peak right now, but it's going to be at its peak rather soon, and that we're heading for an oil shortage.
Now, when the oil shortages hit, I mean, we've already seen the I don't know if the massive is the right word, but close. I mean, am I seeing this wrong? Did I read it wrong in your article? 1998, we had barrel of oil at $10, and now it's over $70?
Exactly. That was the $10 level that it hit. It was actually the lowest level once you adjusted for inflation since OPEC was created. But it's increased up to, you know, over $70 now. And the reason that it's increased is particularly important because, you know, in the past decades, in 1973 and 1979, there were spikes in oil prices because of boycotts by OPEC and also because of a revolution in Iran. But those spikes were not caused by demand kind of equaling supply, but by supply being taken offline, somewhat of an artificial shortage, if you like. The reason that prices spike now is not because of any boycott. In fact, every oil producer in the world, OPEC and non-OPEC, is basically producing as much oil as they can. For the first time ever, demand is basically at the same level of production. And that's what's caused the rise in prices.
Well, you know, whether it's technically peak oil or not, as far as the amount of oil we can get out of the ground, if we've got more demand than supply, obviously the price rises. I mean, I took econ in freshman year, and I remember that. And if the price keeps on rising like this and we haven't even hit peak oil yet, what happens when we say, you know, when it becomes apparent that everybody says, you know what, that's it. From now on, we'll have a decreasing supply of oil. Plus, we have all this extra demand that's already brought it up to seven times what its price was in 1998. I mean, I hear doomsday scenarios, and before I used to be dismissive, but here you are, writer for the New York Times magazine, and you went and talked to the preeminent people in the field and the people on the ground. What happens then, Peter?
There are different scenarios of what can happen. One of the things that can happen is that when we reach that peak, whether it's a year, two, or 10 from now, there are enough alternative fuels kind of that are coming online, and there's enough conservation so that the world economy doesn't grind to a halt, so that the transition from oil to other fuels begins and is somewhat smooth. That's one scenario. That's the most hopeful scenario. But the other scenario is that, in fact, there really aren't replacement fuels, that the infrastructure and the technologies haven't been developed yet because there haven't been investment or there haven't been government incentives, and therefore there is no replacement when really demand goes way beyond supply. And what happens then is that the price of oil will shoot up much further than it has right now, and kind of an eventual almost inevitable consequence of that is that, you know, there will be a recession in America or globally, because the more money you have to spend for oil, the less money you're going to spend on everything else. The economy slows down, and then we go into a rut. And the rut, you know, one never knows how long that lasts for.
So, oh boy. We don't know when this is coming, though. You talked to an expert, I believe his name was Matthew Simmons, who seems to think that it might be coming relatively soon.
Yeah, Matthew Simmons is a really interesting person because, you know, there have been doomsdayers in the oil world or outside of the oil world saying that, you know, the end is nigh for decades and decades and decades. What's interesting about Matthew Simmons is that he's not, you know, some kind of wild environmentalist or rogue economist. He's an oil guy. He's a very successful energy banker in Houston. He's very much part of the kind of energy nomenclature, and he went to Saudi Arabia a couple of years ago on a Saudi government-sponsored tour, which was supposed to impress him and other investors, and he kind of came away with questions and started looking into it and researched the state of the Saudi oil industry. And the Saudis don't give out much information at all about the state of their oil industry, how healthy their reservoirs are, how much kind of years of production might be left in them. But he unearthed some really interesting information, and he's written a book about it, and his diagnosis basically is that Saudi Arabia is at the peak of its oil production, and very likely the rest of the world is too.
All right. Now, Matthew Simmons, though, he must be some sort of liberal who's looking to upset the administration.
You would think so, but actually he was an unofficial advisor to President Bush's first presidential campaign. And so he's, you know, he flies around in private jets. And, you know, it's not even, although he's kind of the most vocal and certainly kind of the most forthright, I mean, you're hearing a lot of noises that are maybe not exactly like the ones he's making, but similar. I mean, Chevron, which is the second largest oil company in America, began about a month ago a really interesting advertising campaign where it's got these advertisements in newspapers and on TV that are saying the era of cheap oil is over. We've already used 1 trillion barrels of oil in the last 100 years. The next trillion barrels will go through in 30 years. We have to start finding answers right now to what we're going to do when we start running low on oil. And this isn't coming from the Sierra Club. This is actually coming from Chevron.
By the way, other than panic, what is their point?
Their point basically is that consumers themselves have to begin conserving, and American politicians have to begin initiating programs to support, to develop, encourage alternative fuels, have to begin perhaps even considering raising taxes on gasoline, which, of course, is something that, you know, no politician since Jimmy Carter has kind of dared whisper, and, you know, it certainly didn't help his political career.
All right. Well, let's understand what this administration has done to stay on top of this problem, because I know they're very proactive and they like preemptive strikes. So they must have done a preemptive strike to take care of this issue. We're talking to Peter Moss. He wrote the Breaking Point for Sunday New York Times Magazine. And so the energy bill, they passed an energy bill. So we must be on our way, aren't we, Peter?
Well, you know, one would hope so. But, you know, most people that I've talked to in the energy industry, and this is, you know, kind of both sides of the aisle, as it were, don't really think that much of this energy bill, that, you know, it encourages more drilling and, you know, you need to have more oil because demand is increasing. But that's not the answer. The answer isn't just kind of more drilling. The answer is more conservation. The answer is more development of alternative fuels. And there's relatively little in this bill to accomplish that. And, you know, so is it an answer? No. I really, you know, found nobody outside of people who have to speak officially for the White House and for the Republican Party leadership who believe this is truly the answer. But, you know, I should say, not so much in defense of the Bush White House, but just for the sake of fairness, that, you know, the Democrats haven't really been much more realistic. You know, the answers, you know, have not been put forward aggressively or at all, really, by most Democrats.
Well, Peter,
that happened in the Clinton administration either.
Well, Peter, you don't have to convince me that Democrats are cowards. I mean, this bill did not only have Republicans supporting it. The energy bill passed with a lot of Democrats supporting it, which I think was a crime. It was a giant giveaway. I mean, look, I do the editorializing here, but it was a giant giveaway to the oil companies, and it did very, very little to solve our long-term problems. And it seems a pattern of the Bush administration. Put off the problems. It'll be fine. Don't, you know, we don't need planning. Who needs planning? We'll be fine. And it appears from your piece, I'm more and more worried that it's not at all going to be fine. And it certainly will hit us. The question is,
now in those realms, when the moment of peak
HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager.